Was there a particular failure that was the impetus for this series?
So you sort of talked about this show that you were in that...
Yeah, everyone
you answered a call to be the failure of choice.
Was that the failure?
I think that was... Well, it was... It's funny because it was the... It was the fact that I was able to succeed in getting a print about failure into a successful show about failure, you know, then that, and I love the irony of that, you know, it just goes back and forth and back and forth. I don't know if there was one print in particular that really just failed for me that I was able to say, yeah, that's it. But I don't know. It just sort of, as I started making this print and making these images that were just more and more pathetic one after the other, I just really liked the way that started to look. And it's, failure is, I don't know, it's so universal to people, you know, that's, if you think about, I mean, to put it in perspective of like baseball, you know, if you have a 250 batting average, your contract's probably going to, I mean, depending, but if you're an average player and you have a 250, your contract's probably going to get renewed. But that means that you're only hitting the ball once out of every four times you go to the plate, you know, three out of those four times you're going to miss. If you're up four times during a game, that means that if you can hit the ball only once during the whole day, then you're not doing too bad. And I think, you know, you got to put it all in perspective of failure, you know, like we're going to, people fail at things and you need that to really be able to succeed. I was listening to Talk of the Nation one time and, they were having a show about rejection, which also, I mean, that goes hand in hand with failure. And I was calling in because I had this wonderful line that I wanted to put it. You know, I wanted to say I wanted to talk to Neil Conan and tell him what this thing I had thought of, because I was at the time I was in the middle of writing my thesis, which was all about failure to go along with these prints. And I had come up with this line that you know, I realized that if I'm ever to see further, it would probably not be for the standing on the shoulders of giants, but perched atop a mountain of rejection slips. And it sounded like something you would hear on NPR. And so I was calling in, but I failed to get on for that one, which seemed only appropriate.
Right.
Do you find it odd that you're finding some success as a result of all these failures?
Yeah, my friend told me I was failing at failure. And that's just it. I mean, I've gotten a fair amount of success. I mean, I'm out here on this residency now, here in Kansas, which it's a great place, actually. Anyone who's never been here, I highly recommend it.
Where do you see yourself moving on from these failures? Or do you see yourself moving on from these?
Well, no, I do. And I've been thinking about, what the art that I'm working on now, and you know, all these other prints in the past have been about, you know, trying and not, you know, trying and failing. But I think in the future, these prints I'm working on now aren't just about, you know, failure to achieve something, failure to do something, I want to figure out what it is to try and succeed but still fail. You know, investigate these activities that even when are successful, when you do it successfully, are unsuccessful.
Right.
You know, things like finishing, you know, staying inside for 2 weeks and finishing, you know, getting to the end of a video game. You know, there's success in that, but at the same time, even when it's flawlessly executed, there's so many more cons than pros. You know, ear candling. Like, even when you're doing it right, you're doing it wrong. You know, and it's those kind of things that I really want to investigate. Not just, you know, the failure in things of, in, you know, ideas of failure or things like that in the human condition, but things that we do right that you really wonder why we do that, because it's so right, but it's so wrong.
Yeah, that's sort of like people's reaction to the cigarette butt. They're like, this is done so perfectly, but why?
Yeah, exactly. It's all wrong, but it's all right. Yeah.
Well, we just wanted to ask you, take a step back and ask you maybe a little bit about your experience at Cranbrook, you know, as an MFA, and do you feel like it was a productive experience? And sort of, how do you feel with all these MFAs graduating all the time now, you know, 30,000 a year?
Well, I had 30,000, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what we heard recently. Yeah.
Wow, that's... Oh man, I better really now I'm thinking about this job thing again, and if it's me and 30,000 other people, I don't know. No, well, I had a wonderful time at Cranbrook. Anyone listening who's thinking about grad school, I recommend looking into it. But my, you know, my experience is maybe a little bit different because of the fact that I, you know, a lot of people in their respective departments already knew what they were doing. Most of the painters already knew how to hold a paintbrush, you know, versus for myself, where I knew a lot about printmaking, but it was pretty much what I had read. I'd sat down and read, and I'd taught myself as much as I could about printmaking. But for me, graduate school was, you know, I was able to spend 2 years, 10 hours a day, 7 days a week for two solid years in the print shop, learning how to make prints. You know, and especially at Cranbrook, which is an academy program, there was nothing to get in the way of me figuring out really what I wanted to learn and just going ahead and learning it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had a great time at grad school, but boy, knowing that I'm up against 30 large people, that's, boy, I'm probably better look over my resume again.
Well, there's more opportunities to fail.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, what does it mean to be an artist these days? Failure and debt. Lots of debt. Yeah. It's actually, one of my in my thesis, I had an appendix, two appendices to my thesis, and the first one was failure 2004 to 2006, and it was all my rejection letters from all the schools that I had applied to, all the jobs, everything. And then there was current failure, and it was all the rejection letters from all the jobs I applied to last year. And that actually made up a half of the thickness of my thesis.
Wow.
There must have been 70 of these things. And I keep them all. I don't know why.
That's good. I mean, that's a good project in itself.
I guess so. Maybe to remind me what I'm gonna do with it. I don't know. But the only thing, I mean, 30,000 MFAs. But now, I mean, I was thinking about that number. But now they're coming up with this idea of a PhD in studio art. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
No.
Oh yeah, it's the new movement. It's the new big thing where you can go and you can get a PhD in studio art, which is completely ridiculous.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you think about what a PhD is, you're making, you know, original research on a topic. Isn't that kind of what, you know, you would have all these self-centered sort of, you know, artists writing, spending 7 years writing about themselves, you know, and that would be it. Like, why? I don't know. Plus, most people think that an MFA is a waste of time anyway. When I was trying to get into grad school, I wrote Eric Fischel a letter. You guys know Eric Fischel, the painter?
Yep.
Yeah, I wrote him a letter because it was him who really inspired me to paint. I was working in the art museum, and I was in Cincinnati, and they had one of his paintings, and I would sit there and stare at it, and I thought it was amazing. Just the emotion in it, and the brush strokes and everything, and I thought, well, I need to paint now.
Right.
So I went home, you know, and you do the usual, you know, whatever art supplies are kicking around the house, and you try it, and it wasn't working, and then I got some better art supplies, and I tried, you know, I really did. I had the BFA, you know, and I thought maybe that would help me. I don't know how, but so while I was trying to get into grad school, I couldn't really get, I would get interviews, you know, at the School of the Art Institute and everything, they called me in for a painting interview, but I just couldn't quite break down the door and actually get the final acceptance. So I wrote him a letter, and I was thinking about, you know, how people are suing gun companies for, you know, if their kid gets shot, then they sue the gun company kind of thing, mm-hmm. as though it's the gun company's fault. So I wrote him a letter asking him a question whether, you know, the person who inspires someone to paint has any sort of culpability there at all. You know, if you can sue a gun company, you know, then is this your fault that I can't get into grad school? Really? And, you know, I didn't quite phrase it like that, but he actually wrote me back a couple hours later and said, you know, he was going on about how he couldn't say anything poignant, not knowing me or seeing my work, but the grad school was a massive waste of time. You know, being a working artist, he described it as doing hard time. So much for not saying anything poignant.
Right.
Okay. So what type of jobs are you looking for?
Right now I really enjoy teaching. I spent 4 months as a temporary long-term substitute in a high school in Ohio teaching high school art, which is funny because I, again, never taken high school art. You know, ceramics, there I was half an hour before the kids are coming in, you know, learning how to throw on a wheel. They knew too. Oh, they knew that I had no idea what I was talking about, but I still really enjoyed that, but realized that maybe the high school wasn't the place to do it. So, I'm applying to, any sort of visiting appointment assistant professor opening that I can, like I said, getting one of them big person jobs would be nice, I think. Especially after going to private school for graduate school, it's starting to hurt a little bit.
So. Right. I think that's it.
That's most of them. Do you want to say anything about conversation anymore about the piece? Or?
No, I mean, I have that little essay that I'd written about it, but it sort of came to me from, you know, well, first of all, eating those popsicles, you know, with those contrived little riddles on them. I think they're wonderful because they're these silly riddles that you should know the answer to. You think, oh, well, you know, a 5-year-old knows these. But every time I eat a popsicle, I have no idea what the answer to the riddle is. You know, it's a surprise to me, too. And then also, you gotta eat fast. You know, like I didn't realize, I guess, when I was a kid that how quickly popsicles melt. And if you are actually having a conversation while you have one in your hand, it is going to melt into a puddle. You know, you got to take some time to look around. So that's sort of where the concept for that print came from. You know, you really have to tend to everything. You can't just concentrate on the one thing. You know, in that case, yourself, especially in art. You know, you meet a lot of people who are really interested in telling you about themselves. Which is funny because I've just been talking about myself for half an hour. But I meet a lot of people who are really interested in telling you about themselves. You know, let me tell you about what I do. And, you know, so that's sort of where that came from. Those popsicles, they're talking to each other. But they're only talking about themselves. You know, like the red guy wants to know what's black and white and red all over. And the brown guy really wants to know what's brown and sticky. And, you know, you have those sort of those thought bubbles, those ideas kind of like dialogue boxes, you know, coming in together in the middle. So they're obviously interacting with each other, but at the same time, they're so oblivious to what else is going on around them, so worried about what's brown and sticky that they're sort of neglecting everything else that's going on around them. Plus, I love that riddle. What's brown and sticky? Oh, it's so good. You guys know the answer to that one, right?
Nope.
No.
A stick.
Oh, wow.
So, but it was those kind of jokes, you know, those kind of groaners where you're just like, ah, and that's really that failure thing too, you know, you know, the comedic timing and you just miss it. That's kind of what that actual condom print is about. You know, if you need to explain the joke after you've told it, then you probably shouldn't have told it.
All right. Well, I think we're going to end it there.
All right. And you can cut most of that out, I'm
no,
sure.
No, no.
It was good.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Awesome. Well, it was good talking to you guys. And, yeah, anytime you want to have another 2-hour conversation, I'm always here eating cereal, watching.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. All right. Talk to you later.
See
okay. Bye. Bye.
Bye.